Commitments by Simon Brett, starring Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, and Celia Imrie, Charlotte.
And you see, the great thing is you use the remote to control the volume, too.
It is clever.
And when you want to bring it up again, or just stop it, you know, if the phone goes or something.
Very useful.
You can do it without moving from your armchair. No, I'm very pleased with it, Victoria. Top of the range, state of the art, of course. Well, not cheap, but as always in this life, you get what you pay for.
Oh, yes, Roger.
Right, Dame Kitty, you may come back now.
For heaven's sake.
And what's that meant to mean, Emily?
Just for heaven's sake.
Look, I know we don't share the same musical taste. I may not be into the flatteners,
the levellers. Anyway, it's not that. I don't care what you listen to. It's just the way you're going on about possessions all the time.
Emily, your father does not go on about possessions all the time.
Yes, he does. And so do you.
I don't. I just like having nice things around me, that's all.
Nice things? So long as they're nice, top-of-the-range, state-of-the-art things. That's all you think about.
Not true.
So what else do you think about?
Lots of things.
Like?
Well...
Like the fact that there are still people starving in Bosnia? That over half the children in Africa are malnourished? Or that there are thousands of people in our major cities who spend every night sleeping in cardboard boxes?
I do think about that sort of thing occasionally.
And a lot of those people in cardboard boxes are professional beggars, you know. At the weekends, they go back to their big houses in Essex.
Dad, that is absolute crap.
Listen, Emily.
Do you know what it's like to have grown up in an environment where the only values ever mentioned are materialistic ones?
Oh, now that's a...
Oh, but of course you would know, wouldn't you? Because that's exactly the sort of environment you both grew up in, too.
We didn't.
Yes, you did. Strangled by what's called middle-class decency and what is in fact just thinly disguised greed.
You're being very immature.
Oh, am I? Well, no doubt in time I'll get mature enough to be as cynical as you two. But until that moment comes, if you'll forgive me, I'll continue to spend a little of my energy thinking about the millions of people whose state of the art is poverty and starvation.
Seems rather as if our eldest daughter has developed a social conscience.
Yes, Roger. Where on earth did we go wrong with her? Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with a bit of youthful idealism.
Oh, no, Anna, of course not. Could you just hold the end of the tape, Major?
Heavens, no. Youthful idealism's wonderful in its place.
I remember you as a teenager knitting scarves for refugees.
Yeah, so do I. Right, the drop on the main window's 8'6".
I always felt rather sorry for any refugee who ended up with one of my scarves, though. Just made from oddments of wool, and the colours really screamed at each other.
I don't think fashion is generally the main priority in refugee camps.
No, probably not. But as a principle, I never like to give presents I wouldn't be glad to receive myself.
Oh. Well, I hope you haven't lost any sleep over those poor refugees with their unfashionable scarves.
Good heavens, no. Well, not for a while, anyway. So, that's 6'9". Say 7 foot across to be safe.
All right, 7 foot. But about Emily, Anna, I was just wondering if you could have a word with her.
Me?
Yes, God knows why, but she seems to listen to you.
Oh, thanks.
And she'll take it better from you than she would from me.
Take what better? The instruction to stop thinking about other people and develop a bit of the selfishness appropriate to her class and upbringing?
No! Oh, for heaven's sake, Anna, you make it sound much worse than it is. All I want is for Emily to realise that there is nothing wrong with the lifestyle we lead. We have worked hard for everything we've got.
But Roger's worked hard for everything you've got.
Well, technically, yes, but our marriage is very much a team effort. So, that's 4'6".
4 foot.
I mean, it's not as if we inherited the money or anything.
You did inherit quite a bit when Daddy died.
Yes, but I put it all into school fees insurance for Emily, Harriet and Benji, so that doesn't count.
Oh, I see. And what is it I meant to be saying to Emily?
Well, just that society has always worked by there being richer people and poorer people. And the richer people have always helped the poor by charitable donations.
As a matter of interest,
Do you and Roger ever make any charitable donations?
Yes. Yes, of course we do, Anna. A £10 standing order goes out to Oxfam every month.
£10, eh? And how much does Roger earn as finance director of a multinational food company?
He earns... Look, that's not relevant. With all charity, it is the thought that counts.
Of course it is. And that's the message you want me to get across to Emily.
Yes. Exactly. Roger? What on earth are you doing home at this time of day? Have they given you the sack?
Yes.
What?
Well, personally, I think it'll do Vicky a lot of good.
How?
It'll make her see if she's got any identity of her own.
Sorry?
Identity as Victoria Franklin, as opposed to identity of Victoria Franklin, wife of Roger Franklin, the finance director.
You know, I do think you're being a bit unsympathetic, Charlotte. It's a terrible shock for them. If Roger's 50, couldn't be a worse time for him to be out of a job.
Well, now perhaps he'll know what it feels like. You have to pick yourself up after each disappointment, convince yourself it's nothing to do with your talent, or lack of it, and just soldier on.
How noble.
There's no need for you to be snide, Anna. I've made my living as an actress for, well, for a long time now, and it's been tough. But I've never complained about it, have I?
Well...
And also, I've been a single mother, bringing up a daughter on my own without a man's salary to support me.
But Giselle's father does...
That's not the point. All I'm saying is that Vicky's had it very cushy for a long time, and it may not do her any harm at all to come up against the cold financial truths of the real world.
As you have had to do.
Exactly.
But you have got a private income, Charlotte.
What?
The money you got in Daddy's will. It was quite substantial.
Yes, but I put it all into buying this flat and setting up a pension fund, so that doesn't count.
No, of course not.
I'm the unluckiest person in the world.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Roger.
Well, go on. You name someone unluckier.
Roger!
See? You can't.
You'd be unluckier if you hadn't got that redundancy package. At least there's going to be some money coming in.
It'll run out.
Well, not for a couple of years it won't. And you'll have got something else long before then.
Doubt it.
Oh, Roger!
Nobody's going to want anyone of my age. It's all over.
What about Ken? He's running his own company now. He thinks very highly of you.
Thought very highly of me when I was a finance director, when I had a job. Now I'm nobody.
Roger, you're being impossible.
Yes.
Haven't you got any guts, any strength of character?
No.
Listen, you shouldn't just mooch round the house. It's a lovely day. Why don't you go out into the park and...
And what? Sit on a bench along with all the rest of life's casualties?
Roger, you could... No. No, you'd better not go out.
What?
People might wonder why you were at home at this time of day. They might jump to the conclusion that you'd lost your job.
I've lost my job.
Yeah, but nobody need know that. And by the time they do know, you'll have got another job, so they'll never need to know.
What?
No, don't go to the park. Go upstairs and lie down on the bed.
Why?
Because at least it'll get you out from under my feet.
All right.
Oh, Roger, love, I know this is all horrid for you, but it won't last forever.
No. I'll die eventually.
Hello.
Anna. It's Vicky.
Ah!
Look, I wonder, could you have a word with Roger?
Would this be before or after I have my word with Emily?
I still think this is stupid, Victoria.
I'll be the judge of that. Yep.
What's the point of maintaining a pretense like this? Why can't we be honest and admit the truth?
You sound just like Emily.
Is that a criticism? Is it suddenly wrong to believe in honesty?
In the current circumstances, honesty is definitely not the best policy. Look, there's Maurice Scott walking her dog. Give her a wave.
Well, so she can say to Trevor, I saw Victoria driving Roger to the station this morning.
Yes, exactly. Wave.
All right. But when we get to the station, aren't all the people I usually travel up to town with going to notice I don't get out of the car?
No, you caught a later train.
What?
That's why they didn't see you.
You caught the later train. That's the sort of thing people can do when they're as high up the company as finance director.
But I'm not even as high up the company as office cleaner.
Don't quibble. There's Mary Coleman on her way to Waitrose. Give her away, Roger.
This is extremely uncomfortable.
Don't worry, we're nearly home.
Oh, but for heaven's sake, I...
Get down! There's the Wainwright's au pair with a new baby.
Victoria, everyone's going to know I've lost my job sooner or later.
Well, we'll make sure it's later. And by then you'll have something else.
I won't. There's no chance.
Have you run, Kev?
No.
You must.
I can't.
Why not?
It'll sound like begging.
It is begging.
Well, I can't do it.
Here we are.
Oh, thank goodness.
Roger, keep your head down until I've got the car in the garage and close the door.
Well, I think it'll do Daddy a lot of good.
Losing his job?
Yes.
Exactly what I said, isn't it, Anna?
Mmm. It'll stop him being so materialistic. Because if you can't afford to buy any more possessions, then you pretty soon run out of things to be materialistic about.
Maybe.
Oh, certainly. It'll do Roger good not to be able to buy any more golf clubs for a start.
Yes, he's virtually bought out the pro shop. And his handicap still just gets bigger and bigger all the time.
And then, of course, Victoria won't be able to rush out and buy a new outfit at the drop of every dinner invitation, will she?
No, I think it's the best thing that could have happened to Mummy and Daddy. It'll really give them a chance to live in the real world. Understand a bit about the deprivation which most people have to suffer.
Too right.
Now, are either of you two going to have sweet?
Oh, you bet.
They do have an offie pie to die for. Absolute heaven on the stick.
Yes, it's bliss.
Well, see if you can attract the waiter's attention. But, Emily, can I just clarify that you're fully aware of the implications of what's happened to your father?
Of course I am.
And if he doesn't get another job, your parents' lifestyle really will change.
Great.
And not just for them. There'll be a knock-on effect for you children, too.
Fine. We can cope.
You might all have to come out of your private schools for a start.
Terrific news. Total waste of money they've been. And you meet many more real people at a comprehensive.
But then you might not be able to go on foreign holidays anymore.
Well, that moment can't come soon enough, as far as I'm concerned. Honestly, being abroad with Mummy and Daddy is like having a rabies warning hanging round your neck.
Oh, Emily.
Next time I go on a foreign holiday, it'll be on my own. Interrailing. That's how you meet real people, you know.
Ah. How would you actually pay for the Interrail ticket?
I'd get work. I'd pick grapes.
What, in England?
No, Anna, abroad.
But surely you'd need the money to buy the ticket to get abroad.
And such a wet blanket, Anna. Don't you realise Emily's a romantic like me? Mm.
You should never try to crush romantic dreams.
No.
No.
Particularly not mine. Because at my age, unlike Charlotte's, there's still a chance it might come true.
All I was trying to point out is that poverty may not be the perfect cure-all Emily imagines. It can have a downside.
And I can cope with that. At least poverty's real. There's no hypocrisy about poverty.
I mean, for instance, would you like it if you never again went out for a meal in a restaurant?
Wouldn't bother me.
If you couldn't buy the latest CD the minute it came out?
No problem. Now I've discovered the Levellers, I've got all the CDs I'll ever need.
And if you couldn't buy any more clothes or makeup?
What? Look, there's no need to go totally over the top, Anna.
But, Roger, it's a wonderful opportunity for you to do all those things you've never had time to do.
Hmm? What things?
Well, the things that enrich life. The things that you used to do before you got too busy to make room for them.
Right. What sort of things?
Well, there must be any number of books you haven't read.
Yes.
So, now you've got a wonderful opportunity to read some of them.
Actually, the only sort of books I actually read are golf books.
Golf books?
Yeah. And I don't really read those so much as look at the pictures.
No. But anyway, I'm not just talking about reading. I'm talking about, well, things that'll get you out of the house.
Victoria won't let me go out of the house.
Oh, no, don't be ridiculous. No, I'm talking about theatre, opera, that sort of thing. Aren't you interested in them?
Mm. Used to go to Glyndebourne sometimes, you know, corporate hospitality. Deadly dull, I always found it. Mind you, that was a perk for when I was finance director. Nobody would invite me to Glyndebourne now.
Well, since you didn't enjoy it, that's probably a blessing.
No, it isn't. The right to be bored at Glyndebourne went with my status. Now I haven't got any status. It's all been taken away from me.
You haven't rung your friend Ken yet, have you? Because I haven't.
You know, I'm the unluckiest person in the world.
And then there are art galleries.
Sorry?
Art galleries. Places where art is displayed. You have heard of them.
Yes.
Well, I... Roger, when did you last look at a painting?
Look at a painting? I don't think I've ever really looked at a painting.
Oh, what delight you have in store. There's the whole history of art for you to discover. And now you have the time to do it.
I'm sorry. Let me get this right, Anna. You're suggesting that I use my enforced leisure to go to art galleries?
Yes.
And look at pictures?
Exactly.
What on earth for?
If for no other reason, Emily, than because I say so.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mum.
Call me Mummy.
That's always been your ultimate sanction, because I say so. I mean, what kind of reason is that? You send us to these posh schools to develop our minds and learn the principles of rational argument, and then you expect...
Emily, I'm afraid I must insist that you do as I say.
Why? Give me one good reason.
Because I am your mother.
Oh, well, another triumph for rational argument.
Listen, Emily. I am not being unreasonable or high-handed. All I am doing is forbidding you to tell Harriet or Benji that Daddy has lost his job.
Why? They'll have to find out sometime.
No, they won't. Because Daddy will have found another job before they need to find out.
Huh.
And until that happens, I insist that you tell no one, absolutely no one, that he has lost his job.
All right. I think it's utterly hypocritical, but if you...
I am not interested in what you think, Emily.
Oh, well, that's certainly true. I think you've got a nerve barging into my bedroom without knocking, but you're not interested in that, are you?
All right, that's enough. Now, were there any messages while Daddy and I were out?
No, not for you.
For who, then?
A couple of my friends called.
Over half an hour each, I suppose. Well, thank God it was on their parents' phone bills.
And I called a couple of other friends.
Look, I have told you before, you are... No phone calls for Daddy or me.
No.
I'll go and get on with supper.
Oh, yes, there was one.
What?
One phone call for Dad.
Daddy? Who was it from?
His friend Ken.
Ken? What did he say?
He just asked for Dad. I said he wasn't there. Ken said, was he okay? I said, fine.
You said fine?
Yes.
But you know what a state your father's in. Why the hell didn't you tell Ken that Daddy'd lost his job?
What? You know, I hope I never grow up to be as inconsistent as you are, Mum. Good heavens, Roger.
Charlotte.
I had no idea you were interested in art.
No, well, art is not without its investment potential, you know, and someone in my position...
You don't have to pretend with me, Roger. I know you've lost your job.
Yeah. Well, I'm quite surprised to see you here, actually. Didn't know art was one of your things.
Oh, yes. Always has been, since I was tiny. Spent every spare minute in here, you know.
Funny, Victoria never mentioned it.
No, well, she wouldn't, would she? Wouldn't mention anything that might change the image she always projects of me as a shallow, selfish little airhead.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what do you think?
Of what?
Of Kandinsky.
Oh, I don't know all your friends, Charlotte.
No, it's a Kandinsky we're looking at.
Oh. Yeah. It's there in the corner.
So what do you think?
It must have taken hours.
Yes, but is that all it makes you think?
The only other thing it makes me think is why?
Why?
Yes, why did he do it? What percentage was there in it for him to spend all that time doing this when he could have been doing something useful?
Well, Kandinsky did have his own agenda. His aim throughout his life was to challenge representational conventions, which inevitably brought him closer to abstraction.
Would, wouldn't it?
This painting obviously dates from his Bauhaus period when, though there was still a marked influence of the Russian avant-garde, those unfettered geometric shapes immediately bring to mind Malevich or Lizitsky, don't they? His theoretical concerns nonetheless have moved away from the former preoccupation with colour alone. Now we can clearly see that Kandinsky is approaching a formality of tone and complexity of texture way beyond anything attempted by the constructivists.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, what do you think?
I think... I'm sorry, Charlotte, but I think I really must find a gents rather quickly.
Oh.
Sorry, it's always been a bit of a problem, but since I haven't had a job, it's got... I suppose, given my age, it could be prostate trouble. God.
Mm.
Anyway, you know this place. Come on, tell me, where are the toilets?
Do you know, I've never noticed.
I haven't heard much from the drama queen lately.
Charlotte?
Hmm. Immediately after Roger lost his job, she was on the phone every couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, apparently commiserating, but in fact, crowing over our bad luck. Last 2 weeks, though, nothing.
Well, if Charlotte's calls have stopped, I would imagine it was for the usual Charlotte reason.
What? Oh, God. You mean another lover?
Mm.
Well, what's she dragged out this time? The customary pimply leather-clad motorcycle courier?
Oh, no. Much more upmarket. She's dating one of the Guardian's art critics.
What? Well, that's not going to last long, is it? Charlotte knows absolutely nothing about art.
No, but she knows what she likes. And as Charlotte always says, she's a very quick study.
Go on, you have another.
Listen, Dad, this is a bit confusing for me. I mean, you spent all my life forbidding me to drink. Now, suddenly, you're trying to pull the stuff down my throat with a funnel.
That's because I'm changing. Go on, have some. Yeah, I'm becoming a different person. This enforced idleness has made me think. First time I've thought for a long time. Perhaps the first time ever. I've come to realise there are more than one side. I mean, there's more than one side to things.
Don't let Mum hear you say that. It's heresy as far as she's concerned.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't care. Certain things have to be confronted.
You're planning to confront Mum?
No, I meant more intellectual things. Oh. Ideas.
I never thought I'd hear you saying stuff like this.
Yeah, well, I am saying it, and I'm meaning it. One's down to one's last bottle of whiskey. One's going to have to pull one's kids out of private school. One's mortgage is about to be foreclosed. One sees things differently. What's money after all?
Exactly.
Merely a device for oil the wheels of commerce. It doesn't help in personal relationships. It just gets in the way. It makes people narrow-minded, mean.
Well, that's what I've been saying for years.
Yes, but I've never heard you till now. Right, you, Emily, my daughter, speaking with the pure idealism of youth, you're right.
Well, I don't
think... Yeah, what are possessions? After all, just chains. Anchors, dead weights, holding down and trammeling the human spirit.
Yes.
I mean, look at this. Look. Latest top-of-the-range, state-of-the-art sound system. Why did I buy it? Rampant consumerism. Commercial pressures. Advertising. They con me. They convince me I need it. I don't need it. I'm free! Yeah? I'm free!
Stupid idiot.
Huh?
One of my leveller CDs was in that. It'll be ruined. God, Dad, you're so moronic sometimes.
Now, listen, young lady. Oh, Ken. How are you doing?
It's very good of you to babysit.
Oh, it's no problem.
I know Harriet's 14 now, but I still don't like...
I told you it's no problem.
I asked Emily if she'd sit in. But, you know, she said she wouldn't unless I paid her. And then she said every other babysitter we use gets paid.
Except me.
Yes, but your family, like her. Emily just has no concept of what being family means, and she is so merciful.
Where is she tonight?
Oh, out at some fundraising fast for the starving in Somalia or somewhere.
Ah.
I'll be glad when she gets through this phase and her real personality starts to develop.
Oh, I say, the full black tie routine. Eat your heart out, Fred Astaire.
Well, this is a special celebration. It's not every day you get the deal sorted out for a new job.
No.
With more money.
I'll just say goodbye to Harriet and Benji.
Yeah, be quick. The car's coming at 8.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm dying for that first bottle of champagne. This restaurant we're going to is just...
pricey.
Well, yes, but as always in this life, you get what you pay for. Go for it, Kiri.
I thought you didn't like opera, Roger.
No, but the way Dem Kiri sings it, she doesn't make it sound like opera. Very neat, this new system.
Oh, yes.
Top of the range, state of the art. Got a lot of new features. Needed to replace the old setup anyway.
Yes, because you'd had that one for...
Certainly.
Oh, must have been getting on for 3 weeks, mustn't it?
All of that.
I'm really pleased that Ken offered you this job, Roger.
Well, I always knew it was on the cards.
Oh, yeah?
Knew that I didn't want to look too eager. Uh-huh. Knew I'd be all right if I just kept my nerve.
You were very lucky, weren't you?
Oh, it wasn't a question of luck, Anna. It was a question of talent. I know I'm a good finance director, bloody good. I've never lost sight of that. And I knew if I waited, everything would turn out fine. Isn't that what I always said?
Well, yes. Yes, of course it is, Roger.
In episode 2 of No Commitments, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, and Celia Imrie, Charlotte. Jonathan Coy played Roger, and Lisa Coleman, Emily. The music was composed by Elizabeth Parker of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Anne Jobson.